Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, and life. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a bit of a healthy living enthusiast and activist. And I use the word activist a bit lightly. Maybe I'd like to be more of an activist, and maybe we'll delve into that someday. But I was raised in a generation where we lived outside, and you just did things. You went for walks, you ran in the woods, you hung out with your friends on bikes, you got in trouble on your bikes, but you did stuff, right? You had lots of fun. And mommy and daddy never drove us anywhere. Yeah, I have to say it. And we walked, we biked, we bussed. And as an adult, though, I have succumbed to some of the business world things. I ate a lot. I ended up a little less active and packed on a few pounds. I think there was actually a moment in life where I was 25 to 35 pounds overweight. And I have the pictures to prove it. You wouldn't say that today, but, you know. And funny thing is, here's the other thing. I didn't even know it. I think, you know, I'm one of those people that looked in the mirror and went, hey, what a good looking hunk you are. You know, from the time when you were 18, right? And you still sort of see yourself that way. Then you start to realize, my gosh, I might be a little out of shape. Well, about 14 years ago, I started the journey to get fit again. And again, and again. Now, in other words, it was like a roller coaster ride, right? I went up and down. I'd get in shape, I'd get out of shape. I'd get in shape, I'd get out of shape. And I suspect a lot of people do sort of the same thing. So when it comes to healthy living, I guess I've developed a real heart for people living healthy lives, right? And it's because I've learned a lot of valuable lessons. Now, healthy life, whatever that means to you, I'm not sure, but I do share this story with a question in mind. What do you do to live an active, healthy lifestyle? As you define it, is it about gardening? Is it about shoveling snow? I hope not snow. Go for walks, doing the lawn. Maybe it's about going to the gym and taking spin classes or yoga or weight training, you know, but just being very active in your life. And I suspect it's only part of the process. What about how you eat? You know, that's a tough one because like most people, I love cake. I love cookies. I love anything with the magical ingredient chocolate in it because I suspect a lot of other people do. You know what I mean if you're listening in. But still, as a career person or a parent or a business person, staying healthy is just one part of your success recipe for living a healthy life. And maybe you're thinking about that. You know, what can you do to live a healthier life? And maybe you're looking at even a career change. What if you're thinking about, gee, you know, I'd like to change my career into being a career fitness person? You know, so healthy living, healthy lifestyle, healthy career changes, healthy business, whatever that might be. So I guess you know the stuff we're going to think about or we're going to talk about today. We're going to discuss it a little bit with my guest about living a healthier lifestyle, Stuart Clausen, owner of Moffitt Training Center Limited. Stu, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me on, Richard.
You know what, Stu, now for our listeners, Stu, you and I met actually in a class, in a class that you were teaching.
That's right. That's just a few weekends back now, I think.
Yeah, it was just a couple of weekends ago. We were sort of sitting and chatting about exercise theory, which still has my brain somewhat scrambled, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, you haven't memorized that whole book yet, have you?
I have not memorized the book whatsoever. Stu, for our listeners, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. So, as you said, I am the owner of the Moffitt Training Center, which is a little fitness facility located in St. Boniface. In that center, we do everything from one-on-one training. We run fitness classes. We have general gym memberships. We have therapeutic services under Revolution Rehab, so athletic therapy, massage therapy. It's kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of your fitness needs. I should mention also, you mentioned the diet piece before. We do have a registered dietitian in there as well. And the reason why we first met was because we also do teach courses for people that want to learn how to be fitness instructors or work one-on-one with individuals that are pursuing a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's sort of why I opened it. And in my opening, I talked a little bit about, you know, active living and being a healthy enthusiast or healthy living enthusiast. And then, but what about a career change? You know, like, where do you go if you want to actually be, learn how to help other people be fit? So you're one of the places that you might do that. Let's back up a little bit, though.
All right.
Okay, so you're the owner of Moffitt, so your own president and CEO of your own company, which I think is pretty cool. I always think small business owners are pretty cool. So I'm always really pro this. How did you get your life started in this business? Like before Moffitt, you must have did other fit.
Other fit, yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose living an active lifestyle was always part of my upbringing in terms of sports and that sort of thing. And then when I finished high school and looking sort of where I wanted to take a career path, I was either choosing between either becoming a teacher, maybe a high school teacher or elementary school. I like the idea of education. I always liked that piece of teaching. The other option was going into athletic therapy, which is working with individuals who succumb to some type of injury, and we want to work with them to make sure that they can move properly and rehabilitate them so that they move past further beyond their injuries. So that was sort of where my university took me, was athletic therapy for the first few years. And then with the final year at the University of Winnipeg, I decided to switch over to more of the training aspect, so to become a personal trainer and exercise physiologist. And the exercise physiologist just allows me to do training with individuals who have chronic medical conditions, such as diabetes, multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, that type of thing.
Okay. Cardiac disease, maybe.
Exactly.
Going there. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's where it all started, was through university. And then once I graduated, I was just working as a personal trainer at one of the local gyms, and then decided, well, maybe I'll try my hand at opening up my own shop at some point. So,
how long did you work at a personal gym for, or personal gyms? I suspect when you start this career, you don't always work at one place. But anyway.
Yeah. The first place I worked at, it was actually just fairly close by here on Portage Avenue, called Core Training. And that was about a year and a half that I worked there. And then I opened up Morfit just as a sole proprietorship. It wasn't incorporated yet. And that was mostly teaching boot camps and doing personal training out of a lot of the local facilities, like the YMCA.
So you'd like a rent a facility or something along that line?
Kind of avoid the places where we have to pay rent and just sort of get a membership and do it that way. But
yeah, okay.
Yeah, that sort of idea.
That's how you started out. How many years ago was that?
Well, I started Morfit as the sole proprietorship. That was back in 2010.
Okay. It's not that long. Not that long, sorry. 7 years, right?
No, not that long. And then we decided to move over to the place in St. Boniface, or 255 Taché, where Morfit is currently located. And we opened up in 2011, December of 2011. So we're actually
pretty
on a
five-year
anniversary in about, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh,
yeah,
well,
tomorrow.
Happy anniversary.
Wow, thank you very much.
Well, that's good. That's good. I do have a question for you around a little bit more of your education and everything, because I always like to share that with our listeners, because I think sometimes people are out there listening and they're thinking about maybe doing this as a career. So this is what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about getting into that whole journey and everything and what it took. And then we'll talk a bit about the challenges people have in terms of being fit and the challenges small business owners have.
Perfect.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out today with Stu Clausen of Morfit. Yeah, owner of Morfit. I know. I don't know why I just said it, Morfit, but I made it musical for you, didn't I?
We've always needed a jingle, so
there
we're
go.
Halfway there.
Morfit. Now, before the break, and actually during the break, you and I were talking a bit more about your educational background.
Yep.
And I know that some of my listeners sometimes are looking for career changes, right? Or they're thinking about studying something in school, or their kids are thinking about studying something in school. How long did you spend in school studying all that stuff? Because you made me tired just talking about it.
Oh, well, that was, you mean our 21-hour course there?
No, not our 21-hour course. I'm talking about your own formal education.
Right. Well, so it was a four-year exercise science degree. So that's how long I was in school for, and it was four full-time years. No, not everyone that wants to, say, become a personal trainer or start their own gym necessarily needs to be in school for that four-year period, but that was just sort of the path that I took, again, starting out in athletic therapy, which is a four-year degree.
Yeah.
So,
what motivated you to start your own business? Because you're a micro business owner, and you started out 7 years ago literally boring other spaces to develop your brand, your clientele, your experience. But what got you sort of wanting to be running your own company?
I think it was the challenge and the fear of redundancy. If I was just going to be training people and that was all I did in terms of, you know, putting food on the table, I'm not sure how long that would engage me and keep me interested in the business for. So, you know, I ran classes at the same time as doing one-on-one training, and the idea of maybe taking on the challenge of opening up my own business and all that's involved in that, even though I had no formal
training
in terms of business training other than an intro business course in my second year, third year university, that was very exciting for me.
Okay. So you needed something more than just delivering or implementing what you knew. You needed to have something else stacked on top of that.
Yeah.
What has been your biggest challenge? Like, and maybe with your present space and everything, because it's been, you know, you're going on like a 5 year anniversary, that kind of thing. But what's been your biggest challenge as a micro business owner?
It's a good question. And it's not one that I think about too often. And I think, I don't know if it's the fact that I enjoy almost every single aspect of what I do. So the fact that I put in probably an average of 10 to 14 hours, 6 to 7 days a week for the last 5 years, for a lot of people, that would probably be overwhelming, or they, you know, may not have stuck out that entire time. But I enjoy those 10 to 14 hours. Okay, I enjoy maybe 9 to 13 hours of what I do in the day. There might be an hour in
there. The last 30 minutes is like, oh my gosh, can I go home now?
Yeah, but I do enjoy a very large percentage of it. So that's, you know, I can't think of anywhere where I would rather be. You know, people say, well, you need to take more time off, go on vacation. Well, this might be where I spend my time if I were to take a week off. So I think that aspect would be the largest challenge if I interpreted it as something that was challenging, but it's not. And so I've now got to the point financially in the business where we're making it through, and, you know, we're able to start paying off some of the debt that we've accumulated to get started. So financially, it's not, you know, that's not a very large challenge. And that sort of ties in with sort of my lifestyle as well. It's very manageable in that regard. So I don't see a whole lot of challenge with what I do running a business. And I imagine that can't be the case for
everybody.
Business.
No, that's why I was asking, right? Yeah. Because there's always places when we look at business, and I've had several companies and run them. So I sort of understand, coming from a different perspective, there's an age gap between us.
Yeah.
You know,
small.
But it's small. You're so kind. But basically, you know, just sort of that, those challenges. I guess for somebody who puts in, say, 14 hours a day, because that's pretty normal in business, not. What do you do? We're going to get into your clients in just a moment and what they do to stay fit, but what do you do to keep yourself healthy in that? Because that's one of the questions I sort of posed at the opening of the show. What do you do to stay healthy as a business owner? And you're a business owner in the fitness business.
Right. Right. Well, I would definitely say that I've noticed a shift in my own personal pursuit for fitness over the last year or two. And I think this ties into the fact that I might be program planning for anywhere between, on a very slow day, probably 2 clients, but upwards of 6, 7, 8 clients a day. That's a lot of planning.
That's a lot of planning.
So I'm not as interested in planning for myself anymore. So I've noticed that I attend a lot more of the classes that we offer out of Morfit. And that's a way for me to make sure that I get a nice balanced workout for myself. You know, I don't have to go anywhere for my classes. That's a benefit to working in the industry that I do, is I pretty much just walk 30 feet and I'm in the,
and you walk in,
and
your
I'm
own,
in the class.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So it's that. And I do recognize that, you know, in terms of maintaining personal health, as well as trying to keep the business alive with the, you know, 14 hour days. And, it got to the point where it wasn't that many hours, but I think we talked back when we were taking the course. I had mentioned that I had started a second business with a business partner. So that second business is also sort of being juggled right now, which is back up to long, long hours and long days in my week. And it would be, it's important that I step back a little bit more and recognize that I need to make that a bit more of a priority even for myself. So I'm surrounded by fitness every single day, and I do need to make more time for that myself. And that's one of those prices to success.
A balance, right?
Exactly.
And it's the old saying is that the plumber has the leaky pipes, right? You know, he or she's out fixing everybody else's pipes.
That's right.
The tech guy has the broken computer.
Right.
You know, like we can go with all of those particular sayings because, you know, it can apply to you because, you know, you're out helping everybody else do that. And I think you sort of mentioned that when you talked about the number of plans that you're doing, and, you know, it's its own challenge, but you have a fix for it. You just attend another class.
That's right. And that's
that's pretty cool.
And it's working well right now. And I think also putting a large focus on just sort of not just the physical side of well-being, but the mental side of well-being is key in my ability to maintain the hours and the days that we're putting in to try and avoid that burnout, which I've got a couple staff that are sure I'm headed for that route at some point. Can't keep up this pace forever, they say, but
yeah.
You know, managing the mental aspect of what we do day in, day out, because we spend nearly a third of our life in our workplace, right?
So
there needs to be a good balance, both physically being able to keep our bodies healthy. That's what I do as an industry, is I'm working with people's physical bodies, but recognizing that mental piece is just as, if not significantly more important than the physical well-being. And so trying to tie that into to what we do with our clients as well.
Good. You know what? I think that's a good place to take a break. And when we come back, we'll actually talk about the types of clients you work with and the types of things you observe. Let me get my words out right. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. I've been hanging out here with my new friend Stu from More Fit, and we're talking a bit about, you know, what do you need to do to be fit in your life? And as he was mentioning just before the break, we were talking a bit about not only physical fitness, but mental fitness too, especially for business owners and small business owners who have to dedicate 10, 12, 13, 14 hours a day to their business, 6 to 7 days a week to sort of make it happen. So how do you stay healthy during that? Or what if you have a career that's extremely demanding and you're going to work every day and you're putting in 12 hours a day? Or we could even go a little bit further. What about just that whole life in the situation that maybe you have a regular job and you work 9 to 5, but then you go home and you have family to take care of and sporting events to go to and all sorts of things happening all over the place in your life, and you're not finding the time to take care of yourself. And this is where, I guess, fitness comes in. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking a bit about the fitness business and what you can do to actually take care of yourself. So when we return, I'm going to continue that conversation with Stu, the owner of More Fit, and we're just going to dialogue on what you need to do to be set for success in terms of your own health and fitness. This is Richard Land, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Stu, More Fit owner. We're talking a bit about fitness and stuff today. Now, Stu, just before our break, we were starting to talk about the importance of physical fitness and mental fitness. And you being a business owner, I caught you a little off guard and sort of asked you, what do you do for yourself, right?
That's right.
Equating you to the plumber who has the leaky pipes, you know, but you're doing good. You're doing good. Now, you see a lot of different clientele in your organization, and I guess probably during different times of the year and with different physical fitness needs or health needs. Like, so what are some of the things that you see on an ongoing basis when people are coming through your door saying to themselves, I want to get more fit, or whatever the opening line is that customers use?
Right. Well, we see a lot of similarities between our range of clients, and then also keeping in mind that everybody coming in is an individual with, you know, different backgrounds, different needs, different goals, different expectations, different levels of confidence in their ability to carry out a physical fitness program. So a large part of what we do is trying to, you know, meet with each individual, determine what their needs are and what their potential barriers to being successful in their program are going to be. I work with a fairly consistent group of individuals. It's more of a general fitness group, so I don't work with a lot of, you know, high performance athletes, and that's just sort of the client base that I've developed over the years.
Okay.
And so there's some consistency with a lot of my clients, and a lot of it is going to be just consistency in terms of scheduling. So, you know, maintaining that 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week program, and staying on it, staying with it. So that commitment piece and trying to avoid that attrition that tends to happen. As you said earlier, you know, with yourself, you know, you got back into fitness and then you got back into fitness again and you got back into fitness again.
Yeah. It was a little roller coaster ride, that's, you know, with that 10-pound swing.
Yeah. And that's life coming at you, right? And that's to be expected. What we want to do is just understand that life will come at us every now and then, and it's okay to take some of that time and come back at it. And if you can find how to balance life plus this aspect of physical health or physical well-being, you know, that's ideally what we strive for with our clients. But we want to avoid that sort of what can happen if you do fall off momentarily and how that can affect, you know, someone in terms of their, you know, their own motivation or just a lot of that negative reinforcement that can come into play when, you know, oh, I wasn't successful or I didn't follow through or I didn't reach my goals, what have you. So, a lot of it comes down to, yes, we encourage consistency and always making it in as planned, whether it's, like I said, twice a week or 3 times a week, what have you. But if it doesn't happen, then that's all right. That's not a failure. That is just another aspect of life. So that's one piece, is definitely the consistency. Another piece is going to be that a lot of people are concerned that they don't know what to do or how to do it properly or safe. And so that's where the guidance from, you know, somebody like myself or coming into a class where someone does the programming for you and guides you on how, you know, the techniques and making sure that we're not putting too much strain on our knees or our low back, that type of thing.
And that's really important, like learning proper technique. I know for myself, you talk about proper technique and that. I've taken a few classes and I've probably learned more about proper technique in the classes than I have just by myself or one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And everyone's going to be, you know, cueing differently, teaching differently, or noticing different things about different participants. So if you feel that you're in a facility or in a class where you feel you're in good hands and, you know, someone's taking care of you in terms of technique management, then that's great. And if you feel like, you know what, I always feel discomfort in my joints, or I feel pain after I'm done my workout or during the workout, you know, but then maybe try to find, you know, another option, another class style or another instructor that might help you get through the workouts comfortably so that you can see that progress and not be set back by pain or discomfort or injury.
What are some of the common mistakes that yourself or your staff might see in terms of people, because you talk about the general population coming right. in and wanting to use your facility, so that's what you're familiar with.
Yep.
What do you see are some of the common mistakes that they might be making?
From a technique standpoint, the one that we stress about quite a bit is going to be neutral spine position.
Let me just sort of adjust my body here.
Yeah, that's right. So the neutral spine, and not only in terms of decreasing the amount of stress on the intervertebral discs and the ligaments and the other tissues around the area, but when we keep our neutral spine, we can move mechanically in proper movement patterns. So learning how to bend at the hips, or what we call hip hinging as an example, or maintaining neutral position in the shoulder blades or the scapular area. So it's not only just an injury prevention, but also a movement pattern or performance related objective, teaching someone how to maintain a neutral spine.
So just for our listeners, because I suspect we probably have a few people sitting around the table right now starting to sit up straight and everything, just hearing that. What is a neutral spine? Just so, you know, help me here.
Yeah, well, this is, I don't know if I've ever had to describe it over air before, but, you know, if we thinking of creating a nice long spine. So if you're sitting in the chair at home right now, think of your head being lifted up to the ceiling above you, grounding your sits bones or your pelvis down into the floor, and you should feel no pressure anywhere through the spine. You might find maintaining a neutral spine is more effort than sitting in a slouched position, because when you're staying upright and you're not used to it, it's the muscles that have to support your body in that position. If you just slouch forward, as we like to do, then all that pressure is no longer taken up by the muscles, but on the ligaments and other tissues that shouldn't be doing the work. And that's what leads to stress.
So it sounds to me like if we do a neutral spine, in essence, we're doing a little mini workout if our body's not used to it.
Doing a mini workout the whole day. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
It's,
I mean,
free
that's
fitness.
Sort of what we're talking about. You know, so that, okay. So that actually helps. You know, it's funny you talk about that whole, you know, extending your head up and like a line going through. I mean, that's stuff we learned learned in grade school.
Right.
You know, they'd sit there and they'd tell you to sit up straight and don't slouch and extend your head up, you know. Or not, we got slapped, but I'm from a different generation. Yeah. So let's not go there. You know, I think that's quite fascinating to sort of see those two things, right? That consistency and then that concern over not being too sure what to do, right? I mean, in terms of the whole fitness thing.
Yeah, and that's the other piece too, is just the misinformation that can be out there, because a lot of what we teach to our clients or in our classes, it's not flashy. Right, like talking about neutral spine is not something that gets people going. But and so the people that are out there to sell fitness, whether it be magazines or on websites, they need something that people are going to pick up that magazine and say, here's my quick fix for the week. And so we get a lot of information that is not very accurate out there that we need to try and dispel or shed some light or some accuracy on. So, you know, a quick example would be somebody coming in and they have, let's say, larger abdominal fat or a surplus of abdominal fat that they want to get rid of. And so they do lots of sit-ups, right? And still that's still the mentality that we see a lot of, is if I do sit-ups, that's going to help decrease my abdominal fat. So they come in, they do their 50 crunches, they get up and they go home. Well, that's probably not a recipe to get where they're trying to be in terms of changes to their body composition.
So what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about maybe what they could do to change that body composition.
Sounds good.
This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Stu, the owner of More Fit. Stu, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about changing body composition. And you used a great example. And you know what? I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty. I have the body style that if I'm going to gain weight, it is going to be in my abdominal area, so, you know. And I'm sure earlier on, I was guilty of this some years ago where I would do those 50 crunches thinking I'm going to tighten up my abdominal area. But you know what? All I did was tighten a bunch of muscles and keep something else loose. a little fat around my stomach that kept jiggling around there,
right.
You know. So we were talking about, you know, what if somebody wanted to actually improve their body composition, what would they go, how would they go about doing that?
That's a great question.
Based on the example you were providing.
And there's the easy answer, which would simply be calories in versus calories out.
Well, yeah, it's mathematics, right?
Right. That'd be the easy answer.
Overeating, undereating, burning off energy, that kind of thing, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And I think what's probably more valuable to a lot of the listeners that might be perking up, as you've mentioned, this state of affairs with an increased abdominal fat, is recognizing that we're not looking for a quick fix. There's no sort of magic solution. It's, you know, it may have taken 3, 5, 10 years to get to this place where you recognize, okay, I need to maybe start reversing this trend in my body composition, because we do know that increased amounts of visceral or abdominal fat does increase our risk for certain medical
other
complications.
Diseases.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
other
exactly.
Diseases, yeah.
Yeah. And so if we put that much time into getting to this place with our body composition, it's probably going to take a fair amount of time to trend backwards and move back the other way. So, being mindful of our lifestyle choices. So taking a look at what are our diet patterns, and we don't need to necessarily make a 180 degree flip in our, you know, in how we structure our diet and the foods that we eat or don't eat, but starting to make choices that are going to tend or trend towards a healthier body composition change. So maybe that's going from eating out an average of 4 or 5 days a week to eating out 1, 2, or 3 times a week. And that might be a good start for somebody. So there's the diet piece. And then in terms of exercise, we just know that there are so many benefits that we do know, and so many benefits that we're probably unaware of that come with physical activity. It really is that universal medication. And we do know that with becoming more active, both on just in terms of just general daily activities. So as we talk about taking the stairs as opposed to the elevator, all that type of thing.
And going for a walk, you know, instead of driving to the corner store, walking to the corner store.
That's right.
You know, those all make a big difference. You talked about diet patterns.
Yes.
Right. So I think to me, it sounded like you should start tracking the food that you eat.
Oh, well, that is really comes down to the individual. So some people are very much data oriented and they love to see graphs, and Richard's pointing at himself right
now.
I'm a
data oriented guy.
So if you like your data, then get one of those apps, maybe MyFitnessPal, that type of thing, and start plugging in the things that you eat, and you're going to see exactly how many grams of protein you've taken in for the day, so on and so forth. And that is greatly motivating for a lot of people. And for lots of people, they attribute, you know, their 50-pound weight loss or getting to a certain point with their body composition largely to tracking. And so if that's you, then I highly encourage that that tool to help you get to that point. But tracking is not for everybody. You know,
it's not easy either.
It's not easy. It takes time.
It takes the time and energy to track, right?
Yeah. And so if you're not somebody who is interested in putting those numbers in or tracking all your meals, you can still achieve great success without going that route. And it just comes down to those mindful decisions and just more awareness of, you know, your own patterns. So are you a midnight snacker? If you know that's you, then what are you going to do about midnight snacking that is going to kick that pattern or that habit out, or start to work or reverse that habit?
And it's interesting you would say that, because one of the challenges is that with patterns is that we tend to engage in the same behavior at the same time of day, and we don't even realize it. And I'm going to share a story. My big one was a chocolate bar, a bag of chips, and a Coke, and at 3:30 every day. And I used to do that, and I don't anymore, thank heavens. But basically, when you look at that particular pattern, I mean, that actually came right out of my youth and my childhood. I could actually trace it back to when I was young. So when we talk about patterns, I think we might have them ingrained a little bit, and it's tough to break some of those patterns.
And as you said, you might not always be aware of them. And that's where, you know, working with somebody else, whether it be a spouse, a partner, or a fitness professional, we can start to identify some of those patterns.
And then probably, and I know we're getting to the psychology part here too, but this is some stuff that I learned throughout my journey, is identifying those triggers.
Right.
Because, you know, stress, you know, there's so many people are stress eaters, right? And that can be part of the reason why they're having challenges, you know? I'm just throwing it out there, right?
Yeah, and that ties right into, as we talked about earlier on the show, that mental wellness piece.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a culture and a society that just breeds that stress.
Mm.
And that stress is going to, as you said, lead to a lot of triggers that are going to lead to unhealthy patterns or unhealthy habits. And so it comes down to, how are we going to manage that stress? Well, if you are running a business and you have to work those 12-hour days, 6 days a week, you know, either looking at another option, or if you maintain that option of, I'm going to be a business owner, that stress of the time you're putting is going to stay there. So how are you going to manage that stress while still working those 12 hours a day? And I think that is a big key probably to a lot of your listeners who might be business owners, recognizing that this is my situation, this is the path I've chosen, and there will be stresses involved. How am I going to decrease the effects of this stress, or turn what would normally be a stressor on my daily life into something that I don't evaluate, or I don't internalize as stress? And I think that's
a whole other dialogue.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. I mean, you know, because basically we're covering off that whole idea of physical fitness and mental fitness and diet fitness. Is that an okay to say? Is that the right word? Can I say it that way?
I think you can throw fitness at the end of anything.
Yeah. And we're good. We're good to go. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Easiest way would be to hop onto our website, www.morfit, that's morfit.ca. You could also just give us a call at 204-421-0021 and track us down to our, we're at 255 Taché on the second floor in St. Boniface.
You squeeze a lot in there,
I tell you.
now it's time for me to interrupt. You know what? I've been to your facilities. It's a cool facilities that you've created, and especially over the time period you've done it. What we're going to do right now, Stu, is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts from you. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. I've been hanging out with Stu, owner of morfit.ca, Morfit here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Stu, if you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Every little bit counts. You know, we hear it all the time, but it really is true. We don't need to make a full change to our lifestyle in order to start progressing towards a healthier lifestyle. Find something that is sustainable, that is realistic for you. And if you want guidance, there's lots of people out there, such as myself or Richard, who would be happy to
guide you towards you.
guide towards me, yes. And just recognizing that it's never too late, and it is for everybody.
Healthy lifestyle, yeah.
It really is the universal medicine. So
I would agree. You know what, Stu? Thank you very much for sharing that message of fitness is the universal medicine. That's pretty good, actually. For our listeners, if you got a question or an idea for a show or anything, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Obviously, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. And please always remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.